John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, the shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
So today we come to the third in our I Am series. I am the bread of life. Dave started the series a couple of weeks ago, and then Alan continued it with I am the light of the world. And so we come to the third one. The whole of John 10 is about Jesus as the shepherd of his flock. And I did say to Dave when we talked about this weeks ago that I would deliberately try and avoid saying too much about Jesus as the shepherd, because that is his theme for next week. And here he is today to check that I fulfill my promise to him. I'll do my best, Dave. I'll try. So I shall say nothing about Jesus as a shepherd, or as little as possible, and leave that to Dave. And the verses that were read for us earlier on by Dorothy, you could see that these two little segments, as it were, two little parts are put in, two little parables, except they're not really parables. John didn't do parables. It was the other three Gospels that did parables. This, in fact, is a figure of speech, and well, come to that in a moment. But these two little figures of speech about Jesus as the gate have been inserted almost into this longer teaching about Jesus as the shepherd, and in a way they're part of that. And there are two little pictures there for us in these verses, and we'll look at them first and then we'll explore it a little better. We get the first picture in verses 2 and 3. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, the picture there is undoubtedly of sheep in a pen, almost certainly in a large village enclosure. Several families would have kept a few sheep each, and at night time they would put them together collectively in a pen, and they would hire a watchman, a gatekeeper, to guard it for them. And only those who were authorized could go in to find the sheep. The rest were thieves and robbers. And you wonder if Jesus had in mind there the leaders of Israel he's been talking to in the previous chapter, speaking about the Pharisees and the issues there with them. The religious leaders of the time, who were more concerned about themselves than they were about the people that they were supposed to be looking after. Yeah, so maybe Jesus had that in mind too. But they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And at verse 6, we find it there, Jesus uses figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. They should have done, really. It was fairly obvious, I think. And so Jesus changes the picture. Very truly, I tell you, verse 7, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I have come that they may have life, and so on. So the picture changes. Jesus is now the gate himself. And maybe the picture here has changed completely. The scene has changed. The sheep pen of the village has disappeared away. We're now into the summer grazing fields, where the sheep would have been out, and at night time the shepherd would have gathered them up, put them in the pen, and he would have laid across, very probably, the front, the opening where the sheep went in. He was the gate. He would have laid across it during the night to stop the wolves and whatever coming in to steal the sheep. All who come before me, says Jesus, were thieves and robbers. Was this an allusion to the false messiahs? There had been any number prior to Jesus' ministry, about 30 AD, there had been a number of false messiahs, those who had claimed to be messiah. Maybe Jesus was thinking of them. And so in verses 7 to 10 that we've just looked at, Jesus develops his role, if you like, as the gate, the door. The word is the Greek word for door, by the way, simply. But gate obviously fits the context a bit better. So our translations generally have gate in them. And there are three things I just want to bring out of these verses for us today. The second two arise out of the first, really. But the first is this, that Jesus is the only gate. He says, I am the gate. The I alone in Greek, as it is set there, is emphatic. It's there for a reason. Jesus is asserting that he is the one and only gate. He is the one and only way. And sometime along the road in our I ams, we will get to I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't want to steal the thunder from whoever's got that one either, but you get the idea. The claim is similar here to that. No one comes to the Father but by me. But the claim is here also, I am the gate. It's an unpopular thing to say today in our pluralistic, everybody do as you like and it's all okay, folks, society that we live in. So long as you don't offend me or upset me, you can do as you like. Where my upset begins and your upset starts, no one's quite worked out, and that causes endless problems today, doesn't it? Because we're now into that sort of syndrome, aren't we, in our lives today. We see it all around us. But we see it in the political world, don't we? A revolution. So many countries of Africa now have had revolutions, I read, in the last few years. The army has taken over, or whatever. In the political world, we see it asserted all over the place. Other saviours, if you like. But Jesus is the only way to salvation today. And in our liberal agendas, well, we see plenty of that as well. And not only in the areas of human sexuality, but in every other area. Jesus, in a way, was right, wasn't he? What Christianity claims isn't a myth that Jesus is the only way. What is a myth is the humanistic doctrine that the world is heading for utopia, a wonderful world in which we live. Well, that's been knocked lately, hasn't it? Knocked to the ground in events of the past couple of years. Jesus is the only gate, the only way to salvation, the only way to find God. And that brings me to my second two little points, really. And I've already said the first one, Jesus is the only gate to salvation. I am the gate, says Jesus at the beginning of verse 9. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He is the gate. We will only find salvation through him. To every believer, we sung in our first song, the promise of God. To every believer, the one who turns to him, as we turn from our sins and seek to repent. And you know, the words of Peter in the first sermon in the church, if you like, of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, ring out as always, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And that message is the same message that we have to preach and do preach today, that Jesus is the only gate to salvation. It was Spurgeon, wasn't it, who did talk about salvation as a door. And I know I've used this illustration before. And as people approach that door, it says, whosoever will may come. And as they go through the door of salvation, as they come to Christ, they look back. And it says on the other side of the door, chosen in him before the salvation of the world. We won't get into that today, the difference on the two sides of the door. But nevertheless, it is a door, and whosoever will may come. But they need to come and go through that door of faith. And I just pray today that everyone in this place has made that choice for Jesus, to choose salvation in him. And if you're in doubt, you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure whether I've actually ever done that, really. Well, if you're in doubt, then you almost certainly haven't. And you need to talk to some of us afterwards, and we will be thrilled to pray with you. We need that individual response, that individual faith in Christ. He is the gate of salvation. But then it goes on, doesn't it, in the second part of the verse. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John's gospel, of all the gospels, is the one that talks about life, eternal life, life to the full. I don't know how many times the word life actually appears in one form or another in John's gospel. Maybe I could have looked it up. It's rather quicker than counting, I guess. It'll be an awful lot of times that the word life appears in the gospel of John. But Jesus is the only gate to life now. We might be trying to fill our lives with all sorts of things, and some of the things we do have to fill our lives with. We do have responsibilities, don't we? Of course we do, in our lives today. But as far as our spiritual life is concerned, the only way to that fullness of life is again through Jesus. He is the only door, the only gate. They will go in and out and find pasture, find that newness of life. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit moving through us day by day that we can enjoy the presence and the life of Jesus. And he wants us to enjoy that life, to enjoy it to the full. He wants that for each one of us. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it, day by day? Or maybe it isn't for you, but if your secret is that you find Jesus in every experience of life and you never have a struggle with that, do come up to me afterwards and tell me how you do it, because I should be thrilled to learn from your experience, because in my experience it isn't the case. I have to be continually reaching out into situations and finding Jesus afresh as the challenges of life come. It's nice to think that he's there for us and we're in that loving, permanent, 100% fullness relationship with him every moment of every day. The reality is that we aren't, or at least I'm not. I'll speak for myself rather than all of you today. But that's the challenge for us, isn't it? To find Jesus again. And we have to keep doing it because challenges come day by day, because actually God wants that. And some of those challenges come directly from him. He wants to draw us closer to himself. And sometimes, very often, the only way to bring us into that experience is to put some challenge in our path that will shake us out of our daily complacency that we so readily sink into when things appear to be going well. Do you find that? Maybe you don't. I certainly do. We can get into a routine of our Christian experience, and a routine is what it becomes. But God wants to shake us out of that routine and bring us into a deeper experience of life in him day by day and moment by moment. And so this eternal life that John speaks about is our experience now. Eternal life isn't just about eternity down the road, quantity if you like, it's about the quality. Aionios in Greek meant not just quantity but quality. It's a quality of life that Jesus wants us to experience day by day. He is that gate, and we have to go through it. We need to learn to walk with him moment by moment of every day. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that Jesus is the gate. Father, in our lives at different times, we've tried other gates, and the world around us is trying other gates. Remind us again that Jesus is the door, the gate, the entrance into that place of fellowship with you, the entrance into the pen where the sheep are gathered. We thank you and bless you today. And we pray that you will challenge us every day out of that complacency of our Christian life and walk that so easily becomes ours, that we may serve you in richness of spirit and fullness of heart. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.